Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone must be in Fort Lauderdale today or something. I didn't get invited, so. But that's okay. It actually, it points out to something very important, though. You know, the very idea of vacationing, the things that we look to in this life to try and hold on to give us some meaning. I mean, we talk about vacations, for instance, as being breaks from the everyday humdrum existence that we go through with our work day after day after day. And we try and find all of these different things that somehow make us happy, that bring some joy to our life. And it's the human condition. I mean, there's not anything wrong with that per se. But it also points out to a little bit deeper problem that we have with spiritual life in general. Because not only do we do this when we're seeking pleasure and enjoyment and things like that, we're looking at trying to find things to hang on to in a very, very insecure and unbalanced world to give us meaning. And in fact, we spend a lot of our lives doing just that, seeking this or that or the other, whatever it might be at the moment, whatever the important thing is to us at that point in time, we reach out for it. And sometimes we spend a lot of effort and even a lot of expense and a lot of wasted time trying to latch on to those things that somehow we think are going to give us satisfaction in life, when in fact they're all quite fleeting. They disappear. They last for a moment, but then they're not there anymore. And so we're on to something else, looking to something else in order to satisfy and quench our thirst for meaning in life. But yet, even the apostles were not immune to this sort of thing. As we hear in today's gospel, when James and John come to the Lord and ask Him this unbelievable, prideful question about when He comes into His kingdom, would you let us sit on your right and on your left hands? Now, James and John knew what this meant, because to sit on the right hand and the left hand of God is very apocalyptic imagery, if you will. It's talking about the eschatological nature of things to come when the Lord will be here in His kingdom. And yet, James and John are the ones that are trying to somehow secure a place for themselves in that kingdom. In other words, securing a place in that kingdom, they believe, will help secure a place for them on this earth as well. It will give their lives meaning if they know that this is going to happen. And of course, the Lord says it's not for them to ask, it's not for Him to decide, but for those to whom that has been appointed to sit on His right and left hands. That this is something that's way out of bounds for them to ask. And in fact, the other apostles realize this, because they come to the Lord and they're quite upset with James and John for even bringing something like this up. I mean, you can imagine what would have happened if the Lord said, sure, you can sit on my right and left. Now, which of you wants to be on the right? Which of you wants to be on the left? And yet, the other apostles are saying, what, you know, why are you asking this? You know, why is this something you even think that you should be asking Him? And then the Lord turns and He says, look, it's not for you to ask. And in fact, you know that in the world, the Gentiles, those who are set over the Gentiles, rule over them, and they bring in great authority and power to rule over all of the Gentiles. But yet among you, it shall not be that way. Because if you want to be a true servant, really, if you want to be a true person, then you've got to be a slave to all. You've got to make yourself last in order for you to be first. This is something I think that we can also apply to the activity of the church in the world today. Because there are many people out there that believe that the church should be a persuasive, engaged power in the political arena, for instance, that it should use its massive numbers and force in order to affect these things or that, or to persuade or to even compel, in some instances, people to follow what we believe is the righteous path. And although there are times that perhaps, you know, we should exercise that power as Christians individually, the Lord here tells us that no, it shall not be like that among us, because the Gentiles do these things. But for us, we are to become servants of all. We're not to seek power and authority and these sorts of things that we have to suffer with every day of our life. We are not to act like this. We are to be an alternative, a polar opposite to the things that we see. We are to be the ones that set our lights upon the hill and say, look, here is a different way. This is the way that you should follow. This is the way that the Lord has told us to follow. This sets us apart from the way that the world works. Instead of engaging the world and somehow trying to become a part of it, we are to stand apart from it, to be away from it, to show that there is an alternative to the things in life that the rest of the world pursues. Because ultimately, even the greatest political persuasion in this world is going to be frustrated. It's never going to work out exactly as any of us would want it to work out, is it? Politicians come and go, political parties come and go. It sways to the right, it sways to the left. It sways quite often, actually. And as much as we might try to make things the way that we hope that they would be, we know that ultimately it's never going to work out like that. That we might get the way we want for a certain period of time, but then yet 4-8 years from now, things turn around and they go the other way. And here we go again. It's not that it's bad to try and fight what is right, but we can't put our ultimate meaning in this thing. We can't put the ultimate satisfaction that we get from life in these kinds of things, because it's simply always going to be subject to the vicissitudes of life in general and the fickle nature of humankind in general that changes and blows this way and that. The Lord comes and tells His apostles today essentially that if you want stability, if you want to be a genuine person that is free from all the temptations of the world, if this is something that is attractive to you, then become someone who offers themselves for the service of the world. In other words, you are going into the world and saying, how can I help? What can I do? How can I help to make your lives better? Not by ruling over you, but by showing you that there is another way. That if you latch on to this way, things are going to be so much better for you. So much greater in the end. And why is the Lord talking about this today? Well, He's announced now for the third time in this gospel that He's going to Jerusalem and that He's going to be killed and that He's going to rise in 3 days. This is a hint of the passion that's going to come in just a little bit over a week. And so He's showing His disciples who are going to encounter all sorts of difficulties along this road, that are going to be subject to many, many temptations and are going to be fearful. And He's showing them, as if He's speaking to someone like Simon Peter early, who is going to cut off the servant's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's telling Peter already, no, you must be a servant to all. You have to place yourself as last in this world in order to achieve the true humanity that I'm offering you. So the Lord's giving them hints. And He gives them hints and hints and hints, as we all know. And the apostles don't get it. They don't understand it. It's only later,
when they're looking back that they realize these things of what God was telling them. And in some instances, it wasn't until the day of Pentecost that they realized what was going on. Yet the Lord, to leave them without excuse, lays these things down now. And in doing so, He lays them down for all of us. Be a servant. Don't be a ruler. Don't look for things in life in order to give them ultimate meaning, because they're all going to be gone one day. Look to Me as your ultimate meaning. Mary of Egypt, who we celebrate today, surely did that. This is a woman who indulged herself to the fullest in all the sensual pleasures that life had to offer, and even more. And yet, in an instant, she came to a realization that all of this was for naught, and that she had to dedicate her whole life to seeking the one thing needful instead of the things that the world says is needful, and goes out into the desert and spends 40 years out there learning about God from the sand and from the dirt and from the shrubs and the emptiness and the coldness and the complete silence and quietude. And yet she learned so much that she could quote the scriptures by heart, which she never even knew. An amazing thing. She teaches us this day to do the same thing. Maybe not to go out into the desert. Maybe not even to go out into the parking lot. But to have that change of mind within us, inside of us, so that we can also embrace the things that she found and which she testifies to us so many centuries later. A remarkable woman who was the living embodiment of becoming a slave to God, of becoming nothing in order that she might be exalted. She wasn't seeking any of this. She wasn't seeking that St. Zosimus should come and find her and have discussions with her. She wasn't seeking that her story should somehow be written down in the annals of the saints and propagated for the next 1,500 years. She wasn't looking for any of that, was she? She was simply looking for union with God, which she did achieve. And because of that, her story went far and wide, and now she stands as one of the greatest saints that the world has ever seen, perhaps the most ascetic one that the world has ever seen. And it teaches us the love of God to this day. A remarkable woman, a remarkable gospel, and just a testimony to all of us that we should seek the one thing needful, that we should put aside those things that are not really conducive to the love of God, to the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, but to pursue the things that God has given us. And if we do that, we know from His own words that all of these other things that we think that we need shall be added unto us as well. Amen.